Well, good evening, one and all, and welcome to our Wednesday evening church service on this beautiful, kind of warm evening here on the west coast of Oregon of the 27th of July, 2016. Welcome to those on the phone and those listening to the recording. It's good to be in fellowship with you all once again. I pray that God has indeed kept you safe and has allowed you to grow more and more into the perfect image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray that continues. You can hear I have a little bit of a cold or virus or something that's affecting my voice. And so if it's any consolation to have something like this, I can really sing bass. So I ask you to please bear with me and please please keep me and my lovely family in prayers, because it seems to be something that, even though we're miles apart, and in the case with Sean, 1,000 miles apart, yet it's something that's traveling across the country. So thank you so much. Our opening song is titled, I Love to Tell the Story. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story, because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all our golden dreams. I love to tell the story, it did so much for me, and that is just the reason I tell it now to thee. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story, 'tis pleasant to repeat what seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love live to tell the story for those who know it best. Seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old story of Jesus and His love.
Good evening, everyone. It's time for opening prayer, and I would request everyone to humble, and we are pursuing the prayer. Our most kind Father, we thank you for this wonderful moment that we are able to come together at this particular time for our fellowship. Lord, we present ourselves before you. Cleanse us by your word as we learn from your minister. May it flash in our minds, may it shine in our soul that we are able to enlighten the world. Lord, whatever we are going to hear and listen, may reflect your true characters. Lord, in a most special way, we thank you that you are able to keep us on this day, and that you are able to send a healing balm to our dear minister, whose voice has been so hard, but is able to come before us and share with us your word. Lord, continue to uplift him. So is our dear mom, Michelle, who has been weak for couple of days. Lift them up, that they may continue to praise you. Broaden their names in the book of life. If they are not there, then write them. Lord, always we pray that you send the Holy Spirit to guide us. Whatever we learn, that you may be able to speak to the others. We put your work in your own hands. May we only be instruments to be used to deliver the precious message in these last days, that many may be brought to light. We know this is the time that the evil one has doubted his effort so that he may meet many. We pray that you squander all his efforts and devices, that we are not trapped in his bad ways. Lord of heaven, all those on front line, we put them before you, that you may strengthen them, give them might to do what you wish and will them to do. Loving Father, as we come together in this format, we know we have many prayers lifted up. We pray that you answer them. We have many who are weak and sick among us. Lift them up. Loving Father, whatever we have not mentioned, but you find it fit for us to use for your own glory, Lord, we kindly ask to provide whatever other we have not mentioned, but you see it fit, Lord, you once again say, provide, that we should be able to pray that you are our God. When we pray to you in time of need, please you provide.
Amen. And thank you so much, dear brother. Well, we just began our study book of Romans last Wednesday evening. And we got down to verse 4 of chapter 1. And we left off last time with Paul bringing up almost at the very beginning of his letter the fact that Christ was born from the seed, the lineage, the offspring of David. And as David had sinful flesh and fallen human nature, then that is the only flesh and nature he could pass on to Christ. So right here in the very beginning of Romans, Paul addresses this vitally and salvationally important subject of the human nature of Jesus Christ. So that's where we left off last time, and now we pick it up at verse 4 of chapter 1. And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. So Christ was not just declared to be the Son of God by the Father saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, but it was also his life, the Spirit of holiness, that showed that he was the Son of God. And included in these declarations of the Father, as well as the holy life of Christ, his resurrection from the dead proved and declared that he was the Son of God. So it wasn't just the Father declaring him the Son of God. It wasn't just his life of holiness that declared him the Son of God, but it was his resurrection from the dead that declared him to be the Son of God. Now, why would that be? Why would his resurrection from the dead prove or declare that he was the Son of God? Any ideas? Okay, that's a good point. A comment in the room says it was the evidence that the grave could not hold him because he was without sin. That's true. That's true. Any other thought? Christ had mentioned more than once that as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, so the Son of God would be 3 days in the heart of the earth, but then he would be resurrected. So the very fact that Christ prophesied of his resurrection, and the scriptures prophesied of his resurrection. So this resurrection of Christ from the dead declared him to be the Son of God. He gave his life in sacrifice and spilt his blood on the cross, rested in the tomb for 3 days. That would be Friday afternoon, the Sabbath, that would be the second day, and Sunday morning, that would be the third day. So he rested in the tomb for 3 days, and then resurrected back to life on the third day, showing that he was the resurrection and the life for all of those that had died following God to the best of their knowledge and light, and thus be able to give them the reward of faithfulness. So indeed, Christ being the resurrection and the life, declared him to be the Son of God with power, and that there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved but the Lord God Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now we read in verse 5, it says that by whom, or by Christ, we have received grace and apostleship. So Christ gives us grace and allows us to become his disciples. And why is grace given to us that we may be his disciples? Paul continues, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. So when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, recognizing him to be the Son of God, and that there's no other name given among mankind whereby we must be saved but the Lord God Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he gives us grace to be his disciples, his messengers, his apostles, and this grace allows us to be obedient to the faith. And not just to be obedient among those who believe, but among all nations. And this grace given to us for obedience to show we are the disciples of God to all nations is not for our glory, but it's for his name, his glory. So grace is given to us for obedience to the faith. It's not given us to continue living in sin. It's not given us so that we can turn a blind eye to one or more of the commandments. Grace is given to us so that we can keep all of the commandments. And praise God for giving us the grace to be able to be obedient for his glory among all nations and peoples of this world. Well, thank you, dear sister, and God bless you, too. So, if someone comes to you and claims that the commandments have been nailed to the cross and done away with, and in Christ we receive the grace to become like him, then you can point them to this verse of Romans 1:5 and say that grace is given to us by Jesus Christ so that we can obey his commandments, not disobey. Grace is not given to us so that we can continue living in sin, but so we can overcome all sin. Verse 6. Among whom are ye also called, the called of Jesus Christ? To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul here is writing a letter to all of the believers that are in the very capital city of the Roman Empire at that time. So even in the very heart of the devil's territory, of paganism, you had individuals choosing to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Paul writes to them a letter, obviously to encourage them to maintain the faith. And he says that they were beloved of God, that they were called by Jesus Christ to be saints. How were they to be saints? They were to receive the grace from Jesus Christ that would enable them to obey the faith. And thus, that's what saints do. They obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. So here we have individuals within the very heart of paganism at the time, choosing to serve God, and that was something amazing for individuals to behold and to know about. And because there was such a contrast between the lives and the characters of the pagans versus the lives and characters of those who had received grace from Christ to obey the faith, because there was such a contrast between the two groups, their faith was spoken of throughout the entire world. So if we happen to find ourselves in the midst of wickedness and evilness, not through our own choice to be there, but because we happen to be in that situation, we can remember what took place here in the city of Rome with the Christians, the followers of Christ, revealing the character of Christ in their own lives. And whatever necessities, whatever circumstances that we find ourselves in, we know that Christ will give us all the grace, all the divine power and strength that we need in order to remain faithful. And that is a very comforting thought. How was Daniel able to maintain his innocence, his devotion to God, while he was daily in contact with all the wickedness of Babylon? It's because his Lord and Savior gave him the grace necessary to obey the faith, even in the midst of the greatest wickedness, Daniel maintained his faith. And the same with the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were able, while everyone else was kneeling in homage and obedience to idolatry, they were able in that situation to show themselves followers of Jesus Christ and obedient to the faith among all the nations that were gathered there. And it was because they received a greater outpouring of grace to meet the emergency that they found themselves in. God will do the same for each one of us, dear ones. As long as we look unto Him, He will indeed give us all the divine power we need to remain obedient to the faith. And let me tell you, the more wicked this world becomes, the more distinct are going to be the difference between those who follow Satan and those who follow God. And there's no way that you're going to be able to hide yourself away in a corner and still not reveal that you've chosen to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you find yourselves having to stand for your faith among the wicked, look up. Plead for the grace to meet the emergency. And cling to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will indeed receive the power, the divine strength, to obey the faith no matter where you are around the world, no matter how many people that serve the devil surround you and want your destruction, you'll be able to maintain your obedience to the faith, all for the glory of God. And you will indeed have that peace, that internal peace that passeth all understanding, from God your Father and your Lord Jesus Christ. Are there any thoughts, any comments, any questions, anything else before we open it up to a season of prayer? Amen. Amen. A comment in the room says, "For as many as believed, gave he power to them." Amen. Another passage says, As many as believed him, gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. Amen indeed. And God will do the same for each one of you. Well, dear ones, let us go ahead and open it up to a season of prayer. And any who would like to pray, please feel free to do so. And
dear Father in heaven, we're so privileged to be at this time in our life and in the world to be witnesses for you. Keep us on the straight and narrow. Forgive us our sins. Keep us in good health so that we can be an ever-present voice showing others you. Thank you for always listening and always being accessible to us. And be with us for the rest of this week. And heal us that are sick, and we believe that you will do what is best for us in all cases. And thank you, dear Lord, for this wonderful, dear family here in our chat room. Thank you again. Amen.
Dear Father in heaven, we have so much to be thankful for and so much to praise thee for. we oftentimes forget when we make a request to you to thank you for the fulfilling of that request, whether it might even be wait or it might be no. But we need to remember that you do what is best for us. Help us to be patient. Help us to be like Christ, long-suffering with those around us, those who don't know the message, don't have the assurance that we have. But especially help us, Lord, to be thankful and to praise thy name for everything. We ask now one request, that thou wilt be with those who are not well, that you would help them recover their health and strength, that we can all be united and serve thee better. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
And dear Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for this privilege of meeting together and digging into thy words of inspiration. Father, thank you for the verses of encouragement here that lets us know it is possible to live a godly, righteous life even amidst the worst possible wicked conditions. And Father, we know that this world is growing more and more evil. And the distinction between those who follow Lucifer and those who follow Jesus is going to become more and more plain. The contrast is going to be unmistakable. And Father, we plead for the grace and the strength and the determination to reveal Jesus even at the times when all the devil's camp is in league against us. For we indeed want to show, like the example of our Savior, that it is possible for fallen human beings to perfectly keep your commandments. So please, dear Savior, grant us this grace to maintain the faith for your glory. And thank you so much for helping us get prepared for the greater times, the more intense persecution that's coming and facing us. And thank you for the assurance that as Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego and the faithful there in the pagan capital of Rome at the time, were able to become saints, all because of the grace that you abundantly supplied them to meet those times of emergencies. Thank you for this assurance. Thank you so much for not leaving us, but coming ever closer to us, especially as we near the end. Father, I pray that you will continue to fill this dark world with your glory, the knowledge of salvation as the waters cover the sea, and that soon the entire world will have a chance to make the decision to follow Christ or Lucifer. Thank you for opening our blinded eyes and giving us the privilege, the wisdom, the discernment, and the insight to know, understand, and follow the truth, and thus be set free in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please continue to be with us, and thank you again so much that we can look to thee in every time of need, and know that we are not turned away, but speedily helped. Amen. And amen. Amen indeed. And praise God for such wonderful examples and of encouragement to see how his followers have handled intense situations in the past and made it through because of the grace being given them from above. And that means we can do the same as long as we keep looking unto the author and finisher of our faith and not look anywhere else but him. Dear ones, is there anything else that you'd like to share?
Good evening, everyone. It's, of course, again, a wonderful blessing to be with each and every one of you. I'm so thankful to be here with you all. And it's just such a wonderful blessing, middle of the week, to meet up with believers and to have time to pray and hear the precious word taught to us and be reminded and learn new things. And I praise and thank God for every time that he gives us, every moment of every time we get to come together. But there's two little scripture songs that I'd like to sing in light of some of the conversation about how things are going to be getting difficult. I've sung them both before, but they've just been on my mind, especially this one in Jeremiah 12:5, where the Lord is kind of admonishing Jeremiah for being so weak. All his family's against him. Everyone in the town that he lived in, Anathoth, I believe is where he was from, all his relatives were against him. And the Lord is pretty much telling him, you know, Jeremiah's kind of quivering in that. And the Lord's telling him, what are you going to do when all Israel's against you? What are you going to do when the whole nation is against you? You know, for us, we may have problems with family and things around us now. And, you know, what are we going to do when the whole world is against us? Because he tells us we'll be hated by the whole world. And we may not be around another believer at all. So the first verse that I'd like to sing is about that. And then there's one other one. But the Lord gave me the words, the song for it, because I needed to learn this and I needed to remember. And I've been singing it a lot as I go through my house and here and there in my walk to remind myself that when things are hard, and they are hard right now, that they're going to get harder. So it does strengthen and encourage me, and I pray that it will be to you too, because it is the word of God. Jeremiah 12:5. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses, if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustedest, they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? But I want to end on a positive note that in Psalm 110 verse 3, we know the latter rain power. We know the Lord has promised to strengthen his people in the end times, to give us the beauties of holiness, that he is just as powerful now as he ever was. He's still in his youth. He'll never be not in his youth. And he is able to do all things, and he's promised to enable us and make us willing as we look to him in faith and do his will and grow ever more in that. So Psalm 110:3 is such an encouraging one, and it's this: thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. So praise God. God bless you all, each one, and keep you and help you to keep up yourselves.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. Those are beautiful. And scripture songs are just so wonderful, because it's just another way to get God's word ingrained into memory's hall. And it is a comfort when you go throughout the day and the tune comes back and then the words follow with the tune and now you're dwelling on God's word. It's wonderful. Well, dear ones, is there anything else that you'd like to share before we close tonight's service? And please go right ahead. And may God bless, dear ones. May he indeed raise his countenance upon you and give you peace. May his light continue to lead and guide you on that straight and narrow path, hand in hand with the Savior. We look forward to fellowshipping with you again, and thank you so much for your continued prayers for me and mine. And also keep Brother Joshua in prayer as he is battling, apparently, the very same or similar cold or virus or whatever it may be. So thank you so much, and keep looking up. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28:19-20. What a precious promise that is.